உண்டா? ஆமா, இன்னும் இதுல நிறைய பேர் இருக்காங்கல்ல, இதுல நிறைய பேர், இதுல எவ்வளவு பேர் இருக்காங்க? சொல்லுங்க. Thank you. Thank you, Jawar. Thank you very much. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining this webcast session. So my name is Bala. So today we are going to discuss about adapter container overview. So basically, just wanted to give some information about what is adapter container, how it works, and what are the advantages of using adapter container. So at the end, we'll take the question and answer sessions at the end. So to begin with, to introduce myself, my name is Bala. I've been working in Sterling B2B integrator product line since 2006 as a senior staff software engineer. So these are the agenda that we are going to cover today. So overview about the adapter container. So basically, why adapter container is needed, what is it about, and some background background details about adapter container and how to use adapter container to achieve high availability, and adapter container JVM configurations. Then we'll also see some screen shares about setting up adapter container, and we'll see some details on how to monitor the adapter container that are deployed, and adapter container JVM properties, JVM log files. Basically, we need to see what exactly, how the log files will look like and properties files look like, and then some commands involved in, operating this adapter container. Okay, so we'll move on now. So I'm on slide number 4. So overview about adapter containers. So if we think about adapter is nothing but it's basically special cases of service used to communicate with external systems, and also it stores or maintains the state data separately. That is basically outside of the workflow context, right? So adapter is one of the key feature in the Sterling B2B integrator with respect to receiving payload from different trading partners, or sending out payload to different trading partners, right? So if the adapter is not available, then it is kind of a business down situation for the customers. So adapter unavailable might have the ability to do the business. So, and if you think about the current situation, so there are certain activities that requires SPA to be unavailable, right? So one is installing a patch or fix pack or iFix installation. So all these requires a downtime. If it is a single node cluster, then if it is a single node, then it needs a restart, right? And also whenever we do some testing or tuning, it requires the properties files update, and that requires restart to take effect. And also at times the server is under heavy load, it'll end up in out of memory situations or other system errors which will make the system down. So these are the challenges we have, and if we want to have a 24/7 availability on endpoints, in that case, one of the key features that we can try to implement is the adapter containers. Okay, so moving on to next slide, slide number 5. So this is the typical architecture diagram for high availability with adapter container in place. Okay, so in any if the customer has trading partners and trading partners is communicating to Sterling Integrator using different protocol like FTP, SFTP, HTTP, or any other AS1, AS2 protocol. So typically the request comes from the trading partner to the network load balancer, and then the network load balancer again sends the request to different perimeter servers that are deployed in the DMZ zone. And from perimeter server, the request coming to the Sterling Integrator. So in this case we have two Sterling Integrator nodes, app node 1 and apps node 2. And each node has two adapter container and also the ASI JVM, right? And perimeter server, for if we think about a typical high availability, then for two node cluster we usually have 4 perimeter servers. So that is what the diagram illustrates here. So and then the perimeter server is connected to the container JVM. So when the request coming from the external trading partner via network load balancer and then perimeter server to container JVM, the container JVM receives that request and then it can directly talk to the database cluster. Database or database cluster if it is Oracle rack or something like that. Okay. So the adapter container receives the files and then it puts the file into the database or database, basically the mailbox. Okay. And in case of bootstrapping the business process, for example, if the request received via AS2, in that case, most of the AS2 requests are responded using the business processes, because for each, if it is either it can be async or sync, still there are a lot of business processes are involved with respect to AS2 processing. So if bootstrapping is required, then in that case, the request goes to the ActiveMQ, and then from there it passes the request to the ASI JVM. So initially the payload goes to the database and then to the ActiveMQ, then from there it goes to the ASI JVM for further processing. Okay. So if we think about MQ cluster, so this is basically used for high availability again. In case if not using any external MQ cluster, then the default ActiveMQ can be used, as that is available as part of Sterling Integrator. So the default ActiveMQ starts when the application server starts. Okay, so now let's look at adapter container background. I'm on slide number 7. So adapter container is mainly to host adapters and create adapters from other nodes. Basically, the purpose is we need to isolate adapters from the engine failure or isolate engine from the adapter failure. So the idea is to separate these two things. So that's why we are hosting adapters on the adapter container. And when we host adapters to the adapter container, it completely runs in a separate JVM. So, for example, if we install one adapter container, then that particular adapter container can start with different JVM parameters. Like if we can, we'll be able to allocate minimum heap size, maximum heap size, all that depends on the requirement. So it runs a separate JVM, so the tuning for the JVM is same as how we tune the normal SI node. And this is pretty much like another node in a multi-node cluster. For example, if we have a single node environment, and if you want to install a new adapter container, in that case, the installed adapter container will be acting as another node for the existing node. Okay, so it can be, another thing is it can be easily created anytime. So it really it's not going to take much time to create any adapter container. And then it does not require system outage to add containers. So for example, there are simple commands available, which we are going to discuss in the further slides. So just run that command and it'll add a container, and the container will be ready to use to deploy any adapters. So the limitation for adapter container is it does not run BPs or schedules, because it does not host the BPML engine. So BPML engine is separated. So it does not run BPR schedules. The last point is number of adapters that run in the adapter container. For example, the FTP client adapter, FTP server adapter, HTTP client adapter, HTTP server adapter, similarly SFTP client adapter, SFTP server adapter. Okay. When we think about availability, most of the times it is the endpoint. So basically the server adapters, because server adapter is the one that receives the request from the external partners. So client adapter will not be significant if you want to, you know, deploy in the adapter container, but server adapter should be deployed if you want to achieve high availability. For example, FTP server adapter, SFTP server adapter, and HTTP server adapter. Okay. So the only thing is it does not run schedules or BPs, because the engine is completely separated. Only the adapters will be deployed in the containers. Moving on to slide number 8. Yeah. Achieving high availability. So the proper use of this particular feature and pattern can increase system availability, reduce downtime, and isolate potential system failures. So as we discussed, each and every component should be available to achieve high availability. So for example, the adapter container is highly depends on the database. For example, if the NoAP JVM is not available, but still it is required that the database should be available. So to achieve high availability with respect to adapters, the database should also be highly available. And also the MQ cluster, what we were discussing in the architecture diagram. Okay. And the second point is the adapter that run in adapter container communicate directly with the database to store payload data and retrieve mailbox data. So as soon as we deploy the adapter in the adapter container, for example, if we deploy SFTP server adapter in the adapter container or FTP server adapter in the adapter container, then we should be able to use any external client, something like WinSCP or FileZilla client or whatever it is. And then we can choose the respective protocol, and then we'll be able to transfer files between the client to the mailbox. And also we should be able to retrieve the data from the mailbox. So it does not really require the workflow engine. So that's why even when the NoAP JVM is down, still we should be able to transfer the data. So trading partners will not be facing any difficulties, any outages with respect to sending data to the Sterling Integrator mailbox. Okay. So and then shares a database with the ASI JVM, and any global outages impacts the adapter container. So for example, whenever there is a database maintenance or something like reorg or rebuilding index activities that requires database outage, then that will affect the adapter container as well, because the adapter container highly depends on the database. So database should be up and running all the times. Then protocols such as AS2, which are implemented primarily by business processes, have outage, the ASI node is unavailable. So as discussed, so AS2 business processes are required to process any AS2 request. So if the BPML engine is not available, then it will not be able to process the request. So that is one limitation here. And then set up multiple of ASI and the adapter container so that when you apply a patch that impacts the adapter container, one node runs while the other is patched. So this is similar to how we do it in the normal two node cluster environment and if you want to apply any fix pack. So typically for 24/7 availability, we shut down one node and then patch it and then bring this node, bring node one, then shut down node two, then apply patch, then start the node two. So that is how we do. So similarly for adapter container also, it, same thing applies. The end-to-end visibility is exactly same as what the user sees now. So end-to-end visibility in the sense, basically, for example, whenever there is a file transfer, so it talks about the what is the file origin and where exactly it landed at the end. So the end-to-end visibility is exactly same, even if we use adapter container or even if you are not using adapter container but some other mechanism, because it shares the same database as ASI JVM. So moving to next slide, slide number 9. So achieving high availability. So the advantages of using adapter container is it's easy to maintenance because it hardly takes 1 or 2 minutes to complete the setup, and that serves the purpose basically. So it makes the endpoint available all the times, and then end visibility. So as discussed, it shares the same same database as ASI JVM. So the end-to-end visibility is still same. And then separation of life cycle. So basically the ASI JVM, for example, whenever we made any changes in the properties file, we can just ignore the adapter container JVM and then just restart only the ASI JVM to pick up the configuration changes or clear any memory issues whenever there's an out-of-memory error on the ASI JVM. And server adapters endpoints can be cleanly isolated from client adapters and data processing. So as discussed, the client adapter is not really significant to be deployed in the adapter container, but most of the times only the server adapters. So because server adapter is the one that always receives the request from the trading partners. Moving on to next slide, slide number 10. Yeah, achieving high availability. Disadvantages are potential communication outage during database maintenance or if a table that the adapter container relies on is modified. So as discussed, if there are any rebuilding activities, reindex activities is going on and that requires database to be down, then it affects the adapter containers directly. Also, if there are a huge table that the adapter container is operating on and that is locked or that is affected by full table scan or something like that, in that case, it affects the adapter container. And also the protocol such as AS2 require asynchronous message disposition notifications. Otherwise, the protocol do not work in the container. So this again, for AS2 processing, again, the ASI JVM should be up and running to bootstrap the business processes because AS2 involves a lot of business processes to process the message and sends disposition notifications. And does not cover global high availability scenarios. So to achieve high availability, each and every component that are involved should be highly available. Starting from the ASI JVM, a two-node cluster, and then if it is a two-node cluster, then the typical perimeter server that are needed is four perimeter servers, and then a load balancer. And in the backend, if we want to achieve high availability with respect to MQ, then we should also have an MQ cluster rather than the default active MQ that we are using as part of Sterling integrator. So everything should be highly available, and also the database. So database also should require something like Oracle Rack if you want to really achieve availability. Okay, so that is what the assumptions here. So high available database solution should be there, such as Oracle Rack, and then high available JMS providers such as MQ Series. So these are assumptions to achieve high availability. So as long as we have these kind of high availability solution for database and JMS provider, then we should be able to set up a container and ASA JVMs to achieve a high availability. Move to next slide, slide number 11. So setup container command, this is what used to set up a container, a JVM. So the command does the following. So the first thing what it does is it adds a cluster equal to true in the sandbox.cfg file. So this is basically needed because as soon as we add one container to the existing node, then it should act as a cluster because the adapter container itself is like additional node to the existing node. So this property is required. So when running the setup container command, it adds the cluster equal to true parameter in the sandbox.cfg. And typically in a two node cluster or three node cluster, we should be any cluster environment, we should be able to see this property by default in the sandbox.cfg. And the next step, what it does, it creates a subdirectory with a name pattern node hash node. Basically, the hash represents the container number. For example, if we are installing container one in node one, in that case, the name pattern will be node one AC1. So basically, it says that there is adapter container one installed in node one. So the name will be node one AC1. So it creates a subdirectory under properties and also the log folders. So the log folder also, inside the log folder also, we will have a folder named node one AC1. Okay, so when the setup container runs, it copies the required properties files from the ASI properties directory to node one AC1 property folder. So for example, if the customer underscore overrides files are existing in the install properties, then at the time of running setup container, it'll copy the customer underscore overrides to the node one AC1 directory. So if not require if not exist, then later if customer creating customer underscore overrides file for anything else, then that should be copied to node one AC1 manually. And then modify property files in install properties to set up cluster flag to true, and then change to use startup.properties file to start the ASI JVM. And then also it generates run all command to start ASI and container JVMs. So basically there are multiple script files it generates to start and stop ASI JVM separately and also the container JVM separately. At the end, it also updates the multi-node central ops dot properties for new container that's added. Okay, moving on to next slide and slide number 12. So updates the central dot properties dot in file to make central ops server work for the new container JVM. Because when we stop, if we want to stop the ASI JVM, the container is still requires the ops JVM to communicate. So it does make changes related to central ops server as well. It also generates the customer underscore overrides dot properties in the subdirectory for the container JVM. If the customer underscore override already exists, then it copies that file to the subdirectory. Otherwise, it creates a new one. And also it updates the log property file in the subdirectory created in the step two. And also it updates the properties files in the service property files in the subdirectories. So if we want to know the details about what are the adapters that can be deployed in the container node, we should be able to fetch that details from service underscore DEF table. So basically the whatever the service type column, if it shows as 12, then those adapters can be you know, deployed in the adapter container. So there are number of adapter shows a service type. So that is FTP client adapter, SFTP client adapter, HTTP client adapter. So nearly all the server adapters, FTP server adapter, SFTP server adapter, HTTP server adapter, Connect Direct server adapter. And then so there are some B2B communication related adapters. So these are all shows as service type 12, but typically here we are talking only about FTP server adapter and SFTP server adapter. And also if the ASI JVM is running, then HTTP server adapter also should be able to bootstrap BPs and perform the operations. Okay. And the screenshot below shows the command usage on how to set up a container. So we just need to run. So this particular screen shows that you're setting up a container on a Unix environment. So the command to set up a container is /setup-container.sh. And then space, what is the number, whether adapter container one you want to set up, or two, or whatever it is. So setup container space one creates adapter container one with name node one AC1. So moving on to slide number 13. So this is what it does. Setup container setup container.sh space one. So this basically creates a container JVM called node one AC1. Sorry, one is missing there. It should be node one AC1. And setup container.sh space two. It set up a container JVM called node one AC2. So if we run the same command on node 2, then it creates the container JVM named as node 2 AC1 and node 2 AC2. Okay. So initial to configure adapter container in a cluster environment initially, if you want to set up a container in a cluster environment, then the cluster install should be done as usual. If you want to set up a two-node cluster, then the two-node cluster should be set up initially. After that, the container should be set up. So moving on to the next slide, on slide number 14. Yeah. This is what it shows when we run the actual /setup container command. So it says configuring container one, and also it checks whether there are available ports, because typically SI requires 100 ports to complete the installation. 100 free ports should be available. If you are installing a container node on that particular server, then it will need another set of ports. So that is what it's checking here, finding next available port from the system. Then once it confirms that ports are available, then it configures the adapter container JVM. So in this case, this creates a adapter container JVM called node one AC1. Okay, because we just ran the setup container with one as the argument. So it creates node one AC1 JVM. Moving on to the next slide. And then when it finishes, so this is what the full installation is all about. So these two slides shows the installation is completed and container is now ready for use. So similarly, node to AC1. So we are running this command on node 2 with one as an option here. So setup container space one. Running this command on node 2 generates container JVM as node 2 AC1. Okay. So this is all it takes to set up the containers. And then starting the container node. So typically to start the Sterling integrator, we use run.sh command in Unix environment. And if you want to start the ASI JVM and also the container JVM, then we should be using runall.sh. So this particular script is generated or created when we run the setup container command. Okay, so run all will start the container JVM as well as the NoAP JVM. So initially start the container JVM, and then starts the ASA JVM. We should also be able to find out what are the adapters that are deployed in the adapter, that particular adapter container. So here the adapter list for Node 1 AC1 shows three adapters. One is SFTP, and then Federation HTTP, then B2B FTP client adapter. Yeah, okay. Sorry about it. Able to see now? Okay. This is what we are sharing. PPT. PPT I'm sharing. How come?
Cancel. Yeah,
complete, full screen, full screen. Hello everyone, able to see my screen now? Okay, thanks. So when we run runall.sh, initially it starts the container JVM and then it starts the ASA JVM. Okay, so at the end we should be able to see what are the adapters that are deployed in that particular container JVM as well. Similarly, to start container on another node, then we have to use the same command runall.sh to start the container and ASA JVMs. Okay, so I'm moving here quickly. So I'm on slide number 22. So next, so we now discussed about how to start the container nodes and also ASA JVM. Moving on, we will now check what, how do we monitor the adapter container. So each adapter container acts as a cluster node. So this is, so this information we will be able to identify from operation systems cluster node status page as we track the cluster nodes in a normal cluster environment. And also, abnormal event of node went down message is triggered whenever the container is down. And then it sends an email to the system administrator by default. Okay. So this is where we see the node status. If there are two adapter containers installed, then it shows as a four node cluster type. So and then node name shows as node 1, and then node 1 AC1. Then node 2 AC2. It also shows the URL and who owns the token and the cluster. So typically the cluster token should be moved to node 1 or node 2 rather than the container nodes, because node 1 and node 2 is responsible for running the schedules and business processes. Okay. And then if we click on these links, we should be able to find out the base port that the adapter container is listening on, and also the operations controller port, and also the install location, where exactly the server is installed. So node 1 AC1 and node 1 AC2 details we'll be able to see here. Okay. And then next one is, I'm on slide number 26. So monitoring adapter container. So we should be able to identify what are the adapters that are deployed in specific containers. So we can identify this information from operations system troubleshooter page, And then in the top, we have a select node option here. So we can just choose node 1 or node 2 or node 1 AC1 or node 2 AC2, whatever it is. And then we'll be able to identify the adapters that are deployed in that particular container node or that particular cluster nodes. So we can check the adapters link here to get the details about all the adapters. Moving on to slide number 27. So when we create an adapter container, we need to create a server adapters. And then when we create a server adapter, we need to choose the environment as node 1 AC1 or node 2 AC2, whatever that is available. So this ties that particular adapter to run on that particular adapter container JVM. So as discussed here, we have a URI to bootstrap. So as soon as it receives the test hello request, then it has to invoke the hello world BP. But the business process will be bootstrapped only if ASI JVM is running. If not, then it will not be working. So bootstrapping is not a good idea if you want to use HTTP server adapter. But typically the WAR file works. So if WAR file is deployed in the HTTP server adapter and that adapter is deployed in the container, then that should be working good. Moving on to slide number 28. So this is the same as what we discussed. So there is an install properties directory for ASA install. Similarly for container install properties, we should be able to find another folder with the container node name. So for each other container, there is a subdirectory created, and that will be with the name of a container node name. Similarly, in talk folders as well, we should be able to see a folder named similar to the container node name. And then the last option says JVM adapter options can be configured via performance tuning page in the user interface. So basically, for ASA JVM, how we tune? For example, if you want to increase the max heap size or min heap size or whatever JVM parameters that we want to tune, we can do this tuning via a performance tuning page. We just need to choose the respective node name and then change the performance tuning as required. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 29. So this is how the logs directory will look like. So in a Windows directory, it will be in a Windows machine, it will be install/logs and then node 1 AC1 if it is adapter container 1, or if adapter container is in node 2, then it will be node 2 AC1 or node 2 AC2, something like that. Okay, so that is the convention that it follows to create the node name. So in this example, node 2 AC1, 2 refers to the ASI node and 1 refers to the container number. So this is how typically the naming convention is followed. Okay, moving on to the next slide. What are the commands that are involved with respect to ASI JVM and adapter container JVM when we run setup containers? So setup container is used to configure a new adapter container JVM, and the start container is used to start the container alone. It will not start the ASA JVM. So stop container will stop one or more adapter container JVMs, but again, it will not stop the JVM. And run.sh will start the ASA JVM alone, but also starts the ActiveMQ command line adapter, NoAP server and OP server. Stop ASI will stop only the NoAP and OP server, and runall.sh will start everything, container node and also the ASI JVMs. Hot stop will stop everything, including the container JVM as well as the ASI JVM. So these are Unix commands. These are all generated. The runall.sh and the start container, stop container, all that created when we run the setup container.sh. Similarly, on Windows, we have additional commands to install the container as Windows service and uninstalling the container as Windows service. So setup container creates the new adapter JVM, and install container Windows service, this basically installs and creates the adapter container as a Windows service. And start container Windows service, this is to start the adapter container alone. Stop container Windows service, this is to stop the adapter container alone. Similarly, we should be able to uninstall the container Windows service if you want to delete completely, and then uninstall the container Windows service. Or whenever we make some changes with respect to tuning, JVM tuning, for example, changing max heap size, min heap size, we should uninstall the container Windows service, then in the container Windows service, so that the registry will be updated with the values that we changed. Similarly, start Windows service is similar to run.sh, sorry, run all.sh, and that starts everything, including the adapter container. Stop Windows service, this is similar to hot stop, so it stops everything, including the adapter container. And then start ASI Windows service, this is just to start only the ASI JVM, and stop ASI Windows service is to only to stop ASI JVM. So it will not touch the adapter container. So these are the commands that are available to operate on containers and ASI JVM on Unix and Windows environment. Just wanted to put it as a table. Yeah. So moving on to the to our last slide. So we are in the slide number 32. So as we discussed, the high availability can be achieved by separating the communication adapters, and provided we have a high availability components for database and queue and all that. So somehow we should be able to think where we can apply this adapter container to achieve availability, and also because it actually provides a lot of advantages, as it separates the communication adapter and it makes sure the endpoint is available all the time. So that is the idea we wanted to give as part of this presentation. I think we are done with the presentations here. So there are a few related links we have put here in this slide. So you can just view the details and those links as well. Yeah, thanks. So if there are any questions?
We have about 8 questions from the chat, and we will go through them one after the other. And once that is over, we are also open to take up questions from them.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the first question is from Vikesh Raya.
Okay.
How is the performance of the container between the 5-5 match?
So, performance wise, so if we think about performance, so it has to be tested thoroughly, like how we do the testing in our normal cluster environment, because it acts as an additional node to the cluster, and the JVM tuning is exactly same as how we tune the normal cluster nodes. So this has to be tested very well, and depends on the load. So we should be able to tune the memory, and that should be tested. But fine tuning is possible. Yeah. Yeah, yes, because at the end it shares the same CPU as well, right? So it is required to do that as well. Yeah, no
problem.
No, the advantage is, so this is completely, the adapter is completely deployed in a separate JVM. So, unlike, yeah, service group is also used to achieve high availability, but here the tuning is very much possible. So, for example, if the nodes are not available, still the container JVM is up and running, and which will help in endpoint, which will help in making sure that the endpoint is always available. And also it is capable of, you know, taking more load if it is fine-tuned. Yeah, let's move. Yes, it will happen. So that is the idea behind the adapter container. So you are specifically talking about HTTP server adapter. Yeah, in that case, even if the normal ASA JVM is not running, the NoAP server, right? Still, we should be able to run the adapter container JVM alone. If the ASA JVM is running, then the trading partner should be able to upload the files because the server is still available, even though the SI node is down. No, there is a drawback because it mainly concentrates for the server adapters. So at least the trading partners will not see any issue in posting the file to Sterling Integrated Server, right? But the same thing we will not be able to do with respect to outbound because the client adapter still needs the business processes. The workflow engine is still required, right? So since the workflow engine is still required, it is not able to send files to the external parties. So there you will see some delay. But as far as inbound is concerned, yes, the endpoint is available with use of adapter container. That answer your question? Yeah, please do. Okay. No, basically it depends on what you are processing. Okay, and how much you are processing. So if you use the ASA JVM for other processing as well as the file transfer, so then that particular resources are shared by other processing, BPML engine processing, and also the adapters, right? So if you want to segregate that, basically the engine segregate the adapter from engine failure and segregate the engine from adapter failure. So that point of view, it will be very helpful. Does that answer your question? Without shutting down the adapter container. Yes, we should be able to do. But the ASI JVM should be stopped whenever we want to apply the fix pack. So that is the idea behind. So the initial. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yes, Shalin. So it'll really help because you do not need to, stop the complete SI in order to do the fix pack process. So if you have container implemented, in that case you can keep the container up and running so that at least the file inflow will be still working, and still you can go ahead with the fixback process backend. Yeah, no problem. No, I think it is not a possible option because the package or platform that is required to set up a container is nothing but it is the Sterling integrator. So the Sterling integrator should be there to set up the container. No problem. There are assumptions here. So as long as the database is up and running, then we are good to go ahead with the Raptor container implementation. So if we see that the database will not be available at certain times, then we should also make sure that the adapter container also will not be available. So it depends. It depends on how often you shut down a database for maintenance or any other purpose. So if your database is available all the times, then you should be able to implement the container, and that will work well for you. Yeah, because it highly depends on the database. The database should be available to make the container working.
The next question is from Shredder Anand. How do we update SI while keeping at least one role per line?
So this is with Anand. So is it when container in place or only when two nodes in the cluster is operating? Okay, so in this case, either we can do in both the way, we can do in two ways. One is we can completely shut down our node one, and then we can apply the fixback process, then bring down node one, and then shut down node two, then apply the fixback process, then bring up our node two. So this way, both the nodes will be up and running. So at least one node will be available at any point of time. It most of the time it updates only specific tables. It's not going to update more number of tables with, at least it should not be touching the transaction related tables. So it will touch only the ops related information tables, so that should not be impacted. But if you notice, sorry, can you come again please? Yep. It is one table. It is just another entry for each node. So, but if you're facing any issues with that, we recommend you to open a PMR to get that clarified. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, before we move on to the next question, I just want to remind everybody that so there will be more sale on your desktop, but I request you to take some moment to fill it up. So moving on to the next question, it's again from Lakshmi Narayan Agarwal. The question is, from SEC monitoring point of view, can we use Elastic Container from HTTP server analysis? Is it good best practice or any drawback?
With respect to HTTP server adapter, the only drawback is it does not bootstrap a business process. So anyways, SEC is not going to do anything. Only it's using the, we'll be using it for monitoring purpose. But as long as the adapter is available, and if you really want to bootstrap a business process, then it is not a good idea, because at times your ASI JVM might go down. So in that situation, you will still see the outage. But otherwise, still we should be good with adapter container.
Thank you.
Right. No, using the adapter, which one you want to monitor? So you want to monitor the HTTP server adapter using SEC, right? Right. I'm not very clear about your question. So I think... probably we'll take this offline. I'm not very sure. Probably I'll give you a call when we are finished. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So we are happy to host, you know, frequently. So if you could provide some details on your area of interest, we will accommodate all those requests, and then we will plan for another session, and we'll be sending you an invite. That is not a problem.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll. Yeah, Jamal. Yeah, thank you very much, Jawahar. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, thanks. Thanks.
All the best.
Thank you. This one, anything?
So,
yeah, one round of applause, please.